So here's that moment where we can meditate, but without the rules. Without the rules. So let this meditation not even be a meditation. Let's call this a relaxation. And the best way to relax is through the breath. For as you breathe in through the nose, for a count of maybe 5 or 6, and then out through the mouth for a count of 6, maybe 7, this type of breathing, aiming to breathe in through the nose, into the belly, your belly is expanding, and then as you breathe out, really expel every last bit of oxygen you have. And that rhythm of the breathing in through the nose, holding in the belly, releasing through the mouth, it's sending messages to your body, the parasympathetic nervous system, the vagus nerve, all of those parts of the body, where you are being given a message that you are in a safe place. And in that safe place, you can completely relax. You can be in your own portal of peace, tranquility, serenity, and relaxation. There is absolutely nothing to do. And if you find your brain focusing and telling you that it needs to do all sorts of things, just remind yourself, just having a breath now. It's all that's needed. Breathing in deeply, exhaling out all the oxygen. Breathing in deeply and exhaling all that oxygen. And in that relaxation, you are already connected, dear ones. For the connection is 24/7. And in that connection, that meld, we invite Kryon to come forward.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. I want to speak of something that is tradition, mystical, you might say, expected, and practical all at the same time. It's not an accident that many of the belief systems that are spiritual on this planet have a prophecy. And the prophecy is that the ones who started those systems, usually their prophet, would return. And you would be surprised at the number of spiritual systems who have that belief. It's more than just the one, perhaps, that you would expect. And the other interesting thing about that is that not only do they all expect that prophet to return someday, but that prophet is going to return and make a difference on the planet. The other coincidence, you might say, is that the timing of the return is almost the same for all of them. The timing of the return in the years of the 2000s. Now, my partner spoke of this yesterday, and I did as well, because I want to address it. Many of you have grown up, even since children, being told that the prophet will return. Whichever one, perhaps, that you believed in, or knew about, or were taught about, or your parents knew, or were taught about. It is the most common thing. It is the tradition, you might say, of spiritual systems to have their leader, their prophet, their teacher, the one perhaps that's even written most of their scripture or portions of it, to then return and make a difference on the planet. Most of the differences that the returning masters would make on the planet would be one thing. They would finally bring peace. So this is the paradigm, the belief, the structure, the tradition of something very important to the planet. And of the billions on the planet that exist right now, most of them believe this. They believe in the monotheistic God. One God created the planet, the universe. But they are fractioned to perhaps many of the belief systems with a few masters, but they all have the same goal. They've all come from the same loving God, and they're all going to do the same thing when they return. So the question is, what about that? What is happening regarding the return of the masters? In the human consciousness, you have to live with what you know. You walk from place to place in a very linear fashion. You have a timing. Here is an esoteric meeting, as esoteric as it gets, governed by the clock. You have to fit in that which is your spirituality, that which is your reality. And if you live in a culture that does things a certain way, you find yourself taking your spirituality and fitting it into that so it makes sense for you and you can still work the puzzle. Now it's important we say something to you. We have said yet again, don't be so off-worldly that you're no good to anyone around you. There is a tendency for this. And the tendency is caused by the fact that when you awaken to esoteric things that are multidimensional, that awakening sometimes expands your thinking and your brain way past anything 3D. And you go there and you spend time there and you wallow there. And somebody will say, well, it's time to go to work. And you say, what is work? You are no good to anyone here when you're over there. And if somebody pulls on your sleeve and says, tell me where you are, or tell me about the awakening you had, and you go, who are you again? Don't be so off-worldly that you're no good to anyone here. And we have said this repeatedly. Learn the practicalness of keeping your spirituality in a place that is helpful to those around you, so they will see you as a balanced, helpful, wise individual instead of one who is always out there in some other planet. That is critical for you to be a lighthouse. What good does it do if you're spinning your light on another planet? No one sees it here. So in that, I will tell, there is a practicalness also in what I am teaching now regarding the return of the masters. Everyone has expected them to return in physical form, looking the way they did when they left, teaching the way they did, in the same costume that they used, in the same clothing that they used. And that's the way they're also painted. Here comes the master, right on time. They look the same, they have a little halo, all of the things that you've painted for thousands of years. What if that wasn't the way of it at all? What if it was never the way of it? What if instead there is indeed a return of all of them? What if they're all here already? And they have come back and put that elegance of love and wisdom and beauty onto the grid of this planet into the field. Now, one more time, that field, scientifically proven, is a consciousness bed, you might say, of the thoughts that are going on the planet all at once in this place that you call the field. And it's not a complicated chaos. It is very finite, built literally for you. This is also the basis for intuition. If it's in the field, you can pick it at a certain time and use it for the benefit of you and others around you. This is for another channel, another time, perhaps, if you haven't heard of the field. It's why you can do remote viewing, and there are those who can, and pick up things that are happening on the other side of the planet in real time. But the field is not used for party tricks like that one, dear one. The field is used for your future, for your living, for intuition, and also it is increasing in its value to you constantly because it is now the forerunner of how you can work on this planet and feel comfortable that you're in the right place at the right time. The field is something that is used for many kinds of things. One of the things also it is needed for is when you send energy to those in trouble. They are in the field, you are in the field, all humanity is in the field, and the consciousness, they start picking it up. They don't have to be awakened or esoteric or believer of any kind to receive the energy that you send through the field. It explains prayer. It always has. It explains so many things that you thought were divine, inspired, and esoteric in the ethers, not realizing there might even be structure and physics involved in the field. It starts to make sense for you. Imagine then the mastery, the wisdom, the beauty of all of the returning masters coming and putting their consciousness on the field. You ask what's happening to the planet. I will tell you this, that when this is happening, and it is in this shift, and that's when it was planned to happen, things start to move in a more, you would say, divine direction than you would think. If the field has the atmosphere, the attitude, and the consciousness of mastery placed upon it, that means it's going to filter more and more to the human beings who are asking for that. And that is why when you raise your hand and say, "Dear Spirit, tell me what it is I need to know," don't decide what it is you need to know. Instead, be thankful. And for those of you who do that and said, "Well, you know, I didn't get an answer," I want you to understand the Spirit is not your clock. Spirit gives answers when they are needed, but the love is instantly felt if you wish. "Dear Spirit, help me with this problem." And you'll feel the love that says, "We see you, we know your name, we see the problem." You'll get it. And then the test is this: "Thank you, I'm going to get it." And you feel peaceful and less anxious about the problem, instead of saying, "I don't think I was heard because I don't have the answer yet." How linear of you. For those of you who haven't heard this before, you need to know that Spirit does not have a clock, that it has to do with that which is around you and the consciousness of others and the problems that you may have that you're trying to solve. As soon as you give them over to that which is the field and yourself in a coordination, "I'll know it when I need to know it. Thank you, Spirit." Then it starts to happen properly. This is not let go and let God. That is an old paradigm of surrendering your power. Did you hear that? That's controversial. Let go and let God is you surrendering your power in hopes that someone will take you by the hand and lead you to the right place. That is not how it works. Yes, you get the guidance so that you pick yourself up as the lighthouse you are, using that which you expected, which is work, going to the right place because you were guided there. That's you with you. That's you with the spirit that you count on from the other side of the veil, which is part of you. My next channel today will be Where is the Veil? And that may surprise you. So, dear ones, what I'm telling you is that the masters have returned, all of them. And they are on that which is the field, if you wish to understand it, a consciousness grid around this planet. This is one of the things that was going to happen all along if you had made it to the shift. The indigenous knew it before there were these masters. Go figure that out. The indigenous knew it before the organized religious systems existed and the masters wrote what they wrote. And they talked about this time. That's how prominent this has been, you would say, in the traditions of the ancients. They knew what was coming. A decision time for humanity. You are sitting right now, seemingly, in the most difficult time of the shift. You are. On purpose, you came for this. There are some of you who still don't understand or realize that. You would say, isn't it an odd time to come for this difficulty? You want to know about a time to come for difficulty? That was two lifetimes ago when you decided to arrive in the world wars. That's difficult. Ask your grandparents how difficult that was. When mothers were losing their children by the millions overseas. That's difficult. But this one, it has another kind of difficulty. And the kind of difficulty is this. Will you be able to move to a track of consciousness that does not have war? Think with me for a moment. What is it the masters were coming back for? To create peace on earth. That's in the grid, should you choose to reach up and grab it. This is what will be reached up and grabbed by new leaders as they come forward, who are young people now, who see a future that is so differently organized than the one that is here now. The one that is here now, based in politics and greed for most of the planet, does not have to fall apart. It does not have to get worse and worse in order to be better. The leaders can come up within the structure and make the changes without it being a catastrophe to all of you. It is a very gentle and peaceful solution. And we spoke of it when we talked about the new children 25 years ago who had a consciousness that would create that today and beyond. And we say again, watch for younger people where older people used to be the ones in their jobs to start making decisions that are different out of compassion. And it is doable and it is possible, but the paradigms of your very existing governments will have to alter a little bit. But they will, because they will see the vision and they will see the sense of good trade. They will see the sense of partnership. They will see the sense of sharing resources. That is not here yet, but it will be. So even the questions that have been asked in this group today, when will this occur? Why isn't this happening yet? I will tell you, the timing of it all is yours. The battle is still here. The battle between the old consciousness and new consciousness is so obvious. And that is why we ask you not to watch that, which is your news on media of any kind, instead to read it and not have it broadcast to you, because the reading of it will be more succinct, more accurate, done by journalists. And then you'll have a better picture of what might actually be happening to make the decisions you have to make. But that which is an old energy wants to barrage you with news that is not exactly factual in order to keep you in certain kinds of fear so that you will go a certain way. And the result is not a conspiracy, dear ones. It's to keep things the same. And the same means that, yes, you'll simply return to an old train track where things happen over and over and history repeats itself. And sure, then there'll be another war and another war and so on. And that's not where you're going. That's the difficulty now for you to see. Because so many of you are uncomfortable with this new track. This is what was taught yesterday. I want you to drop into your hearts on a regular basis and state to yourself, all is well. As long as I hold the light and realize what's truly happening on the planet, not what I'm told is happening on the planet. Beware of the soothsayers and doom makers, because they will do their best to frighten you, even with metaphysical talk. My partner will cover that later today in his teaching. There are many things that are grabbing at you for attention, and so many of them want to pull you backwards, dear ones. Maybe that's why you're sitting here now as a lighthouse that you are, realizing that you actually have the power to negate all of this yourself with the light and understanding and wisdom that is yours. That's the plea that I have for you. And that is to discover the angel inside that you all have, that no one told you about, that some of you are starting to awaken to and discover. I'm crying in love with all of you. There'll be more. And so it is.